In Tehran today, the Iranian parliament voted overwhelmingly to label all American military forces terrorists. Last week, they voted to label any U.S. forces in the Middle East terrorist. Today's vote expanded that. And it follows the Trump administration designating Iran's Revolutionary Guard a terrorist organization. Also yesterday, the White House said that now no country will be exempt from sanctions if they buy oil from Iran. President Trump reimposed those sanctions when he pulled the U.S. out of the Iran nuclear deal last year, but he gave some waivers. Now he's rescinded them. Barbara Slavin is director of the Future of Iran Initiative at the Atlantic Council. And Barbara, we're thinking, we spoke to you when those sanctions were reimposed. How would you characterize this ratcheting up?
Well, fortunately, at least on the Iranian side, it's primarily rhetorical and political at this point. I think the real concern is that Iran, deprived of oil revenues, despite the fact that it is complying with the nuclear agreement, might actually pull out of that agreement and start accelerating its nuclear program again.
I want you to say that again, because for those, you know, we need whiteboards at this point to follow this. And the president pulled out of the nuclear agreement and imposed sanctions, even though every observer agreed that Iran was abiding by the agreement.
The logic behind the administration move, frankly, still mystifies me, because had the United States remained within the agreement, it could have tried to negotiate with Iran and with other countries on other issues that are of concern to the United States. Instead, by withdrawing from the agreement, reimposing sanctions, what the U.S. has done is created a great deal of enmity with many of our allies. There are obviously a few countries, Saudi Arabia, United Arab Emirates, and Israel, that have cheered on this move. But the Europeans, Russians, Chinese, others are very angry about it. So a year later, the U.S. policy is showing no signs of success. So what do? They double down and now insist that no oil can be exported by Iran to the rest of the world. This is what is known as secondary sanctions. These are illegal under international economic rules, and the U.S. is only able to impose them because of the strength of the dollar, the importance of the dollar in the international financial system. So I'm waiting to see how the rest of the world reacts. Will they still import Iranian oil, and what do we do then?
Which countries do you think might do that? Explain to us who these players are.
There are some countries that need the United States so much that they don't dare do it. Japan, South Korea.
Well, we understand that India said today they will not buy oil from Iran.
Mm. China and Turkey, I think, have both been very open about the fact that they intend to continue to buy oil. India may stop for a while, but, you know, a lot of people around the world, not just in the United States, are looking toward our 2020 elections. If President Trump is defeated, many of them hope they can return to normal business with Iran, since this is really a policy of the Trump administration that has been rejected by, indeed, most of the Democrats who are running to replace President Trump.
Yeah. And what does it mean? You know, just give us more context for this. So let's say India doesn't, huge country. China and maybe one other country, you know, do continue to buy the oil despite the sanctions. How does that ripple out? What does that do to U.S.-China relations? They're in the middle of trade talks.
It adds more complications to our trade talks with China. It adds more complications to our already very troubled relationship with Turkey. But let's talk about American consumers. You know, price of oil is going up. Price of gasoline is going up. You can't reduce Iranian oil exports and expect U.S. oil prices or gasoline prices to stay low, which is another goal of the Trump administration. Remember that Venezuela, which produces a similar sort of heavy crude to Iran, is also having difficulties now. It's under U.S. sanctions as well. U.S. is trying to change the regime in Venezuela. So prices will go up for consumers. It will have an impact on everyone's economy. It will indirectly help the Iranians, because whatever they can sell for more.
Barbara, why do you think this is happening now? The Trump administration says that Iran is, you know, backing terrorist groups. Hezbollah is a group based in Lebanon. Has there been, you know, a flare-up of terrorism? I mean, why these moves now?
Well, I think it's frustration on the part of the Trump administration that Iran has remained within the deal. You know, if Iran pulls out, then the United Nations, European Union will put back sanctions that they had lifted under the nuclear deal, then the United States would not be alone in its coercive techniques. So I think they're really trying to goad the Iranians into pulling out of the deal, committing a major act of terrorism, which thank God the Iranians have not done. I'm worried about possible, as the military calls them, second and third order effects in places like Iraq and Afghanistan. So there are a lot of ways in which Iran can push back against these unilateral U.S. actions.
Barbara Slavin, director of the Future of Iran Initiative at the Atlantic Council. Barbara, thank you. Always a pleasure to speak with you.
Thank you very much. My pleasure.